It's good to be back. It's always an exciting time of the year, especially for football, when you get ready to go to training camp. But I wanted to make sure that I commended our staff and the renovation and the crew that worked here on this building. It is an exciting building for our football players and our team, and it's something I think our guys would be very proud to be a part of being here every day, because I think they did a great job of getting this building up and running and having it ready for when our players walked in a building. So I'm very excited about that as well. But again, this is an opportunity for us to get back. It's another part of our process of getting our football team ready to go for the season.
A great start from the spring. Carry that over, and the work that we'll put in this summer is really important. We're excited to see the guys back. I know they're excited to be here. So I won't say too much more than that. I know you all have a ton of questions, but we're ready to get going. And the excitement's in the building, and I'm sure we'll see it translate on the field with the work effort.
Yeah, nothing different here. I'm obviously very excited. This is novel for me, looking forward to my first training camp and just continuing to have an opportunity to learn, you know, an awful lot, hopefully over the course of the next 6 weeks.
We'll open it up. Human Sashi, can we start with Isaiah Crowell's situation? Are you guys satisfied with the steps he's taken so far to turn a negative into a positive, like you said?
Yeah, I think it starts with obviously grave disappointment in the action in the first place, and we don't skip past that. But you know, Crow, to his credit, called both you and I on his own to be accountable. He had wanted to make steps. Obviously, it was a huge mistake for him. We will have some discussions internally and handle it internally, but he has taken the steps that I think, at least at the outset, that he should. Rightfully so, to make something that was very wrong into a right. And we'll use that as a teaching lesson for the entire team, something that Hugh preaches. It was disappointing, but hopefully from some of this, some good can come.
There may be a segment of your fan base that doesn't forgive him. Is that a concern at all, whatever kind of reaction he may get during camp or exhibition games, et cetera?
And that could be the case, and rightfully so. I mean, as Sash just said, it was very disappointing. But at the same time, we don't feel that that's Crow's character. And I truly believe that he'll continue to work at making this right. And I think that's very important to all three of us sitting up here, that he does continue to do his part as far as making sure that that's right. And Sashi said it best. It's going to be an opportunity for us to really teach our team. It's unfortunate it's that kind of lesson to learn, but sometimes that's what it is. But more so than that, I truly believe that this is not who Isaiah Crowell is. And I think I hope everybody just gives him an opportunity to prove that as we move forward.
Hey, Sashi, what was your conversation like with Josh Gordon when he returned? And what do you think his mindset is after such a long time away?
Well, he's excited to be back. We are glad to have him back. You know, it's a long time for a player who's on your roster to be away from the team. So just getting back into the structure and with his teammates in the building, I think it will be a very healthy thing for him. I'm not going to get into the details of the conversation, but certainly welcomed him back and set the expectations for his being here. Certainly showed our support for him and wanted to make sure we understand how we can help him. It was a quick turn. You know, we got word from the league and he showed up here in less than 24 hours later. So we're doing our best, continue to get a handle on the situation, and we'll work with Josh through that.
When we talked to you in the past, you were non-committal about whether or not you welcome him back. What made the decision to go ahead and say, yeah, you're on our team?
Well, I think we have an opportunity to speak with Josh while he was out through certainly the folks in our player engagement department. But also we're in close contact with the league. So we did have communications with them to understand what his meeting with the commissioner was like and what they took away from it. We were able to talk to Josh when he got here as well. And if the message from Josh and the pledge from Josh wasn't consistent with what we wanted to see from him, we would have made a different decision. That wasn't the case. He's in earnest, wants to make the most of this opportunity, and he knows his situation. And so we're going to get around him and give him that opportunity.
Given his history, do you have confidence that you can rely on him all year, when once he gets back anyway?
Right. I mean, obviously, we're going to find that out. You know, he's going to have to be accountable what it is that he needs to do, first and foremost. And we understand that the league have expectations for him, and we do too. And we shared those with him. And I truly believe that he wants to make it right as well. I think what's important, I think you guys kind of know how I go about it. You know, his slate's clean with me. You know, I don't have a lot of history with Josh that way, and obviously, but his history is preceding him, and I think he knows that. And I think the only way to deal with a player in these situations is to kind of hit the restart button for him, and he has to go do it. You know, like I said, the league has said what their expectations are. We have said what our expectations are. We've laid it out, and I think it's crystal clear what needs to happen as we move forward.
Were you surprised he showed up with an injury? And the statement said 2 weeks before he could probably get on the field. How does this complicate managing him in the preseason, knowing he's not going to have him for four games anyway?
You know, honestly, I think it wasn't disappointing because, again, you know, you're talking about a player that we didn't have any contact with. And I'm sure, you know, just knowing him a little bit, he was probably trying to do everything he could to get himself in the best shape that he possibly could. But we'll have a plan in place to manage him as we move forward. I think the most important thing is just getting him healthy first. And then after we get him through that process, and then we'll move on to the next plan that we have to get him to where he needs to be.
You're not the first coach here who's tried to kind of reach Josh Gordon and get him to stay on the field. What do you think is going to be different about your approach, or what do you think you can do differently?
Well, I don't know if it's just me. I think it's the environment that we have here. I think there's a different culture here. I think the players, it won't just be myself and the staff. It'll also be his teammates that would help him be a part of this and be accountable, because I think we're going to all lift each other up and help each other be the best we can be. And I think that's where it all starts. It's not just me. Obviously, I'm kind of the head of this from that standpoint. But it kind of all trickles down. And I think we all try to help each other as much as we can. And I think we'll be there for him. And I'm not saying that there won't be any bumps in the road. We all understand it possibly could be. But at the same time, we'll dust him off and get him back to where he needs to be as fast as we can.
Can you talk about the fact that you came from a team in the Bengals that they're kind of known for giving second, third, maybe sometimes even fourth chances to guys that haven't passed? And you have a track record with that, you know, yourself. Can you just talk mm-hmm. about your kind of general philosophy on giving guys second, third, chances?
And I appreciate you saying that. I try not to compare, you know, situations. Obviously, you know, I've been through this a little bit. But at the same time, I think our structure here, you know, with Paul and Sashi and then the support from D and Jimmy, and I think the players, I really feel good about our team, because I think it all starts in the locker room. I think if a player really wants to change, you have to create an environment for him to change. And I know with these two men that are sitting up here with me that we're going to make sure that we have the right structure in place for him. And then I think it works over in the locker room, like I said, with our veteran players, the guys that have been here with him before, who understand maybe some of the shortcomings that he's had in the past, and that we can help manage him through those, you know. But again, at the end of the day, I think Josh truly understands and believes it's about him. He has to do this himself. You know, he's a grown man. And so this is pro football. And he has to be accountable that way to be a part of this as we move forward.
How did you feel when he kept showing up at events with Manziel?
Honestly, I had no feeling about it, because at the end of the day, we didn't have any contact with him. You know, anyone.
Yeah, I'd echo what Hugh said.
Did you think that was a smart thing to be doing?
I'm not going to get into that. I mean, I think we can move past.
What was the one thing that? I mean, he's the guy who's now going to be suspended four straight years, at least part of the season. He's missed 27 of 32 games. He's one misstep from being gone. What is the one thing that led you? I mean, what's the deciding factor that led you to bring him back?
Yeah, I think for us it's about Josh wanting to make a change and having the opportunity. And, you know, we've got 90 guys on the roster right now, and he's one of those young men that has an opportunity. And we'll find out very quickly if he's serious about it. And we believe that he is. But we'll hold him accountable. He's going to have to hold himself accountable. There's, frankly, I mean, let's be honest, there's nothing we're going to be able to do to force Josh to change. The change is going to be within him. We will support him through that as teammates, as front office staff, as coaches. as player development specialists. But the change is going to have to be within Josh, and we think, and I think the NFL thinks he's got a good opportunity to do that.
You made it pretty clear before, after minicamp broke, you know, going into the summer, that you're really not going to put up with a lot of nonsense off the field. You're expecting players to conduct themselves and represent the franchise mm-hmm. in an appropriate manner. Josh, as well as other players going forward, where is that barometer at as far as a no-tolerance policy? Is it pretty firm? Or you know?
Oh, it's firm, but I think every case has got to be dealt with individually. I mean, because, again, we're talking about Josh Gordon, a player who hasn't been with this football team. You know, I've had no interaction with him. So I think as we move forward, you know, I think then we can judge that, you know, as we go along. But I think right now it would be too, you know, it wouldn't be the right thing to do.
Did you look at the film when he played?
You better 14. Believe I did.
Did that influence? Did you?
No, I mean, I know who Josh Gordon is as a football player. What really captured me is Josh Gordon as a person, you know. And I, as Sashi said, we won't get into the details of the conversation, but I felt very good about having a conversation with him. And I think he will let you know that we were very open and honest, and that there are expectations about how we do things here. We're not going to go backwards, you know. We're only going forward. And I think he has to meet our standards and how we go about doing business here, and I think he's willing to do that. And I think that's why we're sitting here today with him on our football team.
Are you close to, are you ready to name a starting quarterback?
I think whoever earns that job is going to earn it out here on this field. But, you know, we're going to go through a process here pretty soon. It's going to show itself really quickly, and it will definitely be before we play a first preseason game. So, I mean, I know everybody's looking for me to say, here's the guy. But I still want to get out here with our players, you know, because all of them have to earn a starting spot, you know, as we move forward. So we're going to hit the ground running tomorrow and start a practice, and we'll start evaluating that position as well as all of the positions as we move forward.
Will you wait reps, even them out between RG3 and Josh?
I'm sorry?
Will you be weighing the reps? Will they be even between those two guys? I mean, is it a true open competition? How would you describe this thing?
I think it's open competition everywhere, you know. Maybe everybody would say with the exception of Joe Thomas, you know. I think we have to earn the right to play for our organization, for a football team. And I think even Joe's going to walk back in this building ready to go and chomping at the bit. So I think every player, you know, I don't want to get locked into, well, it's going to be 60-40 or 50-50. I think what's most important is whatever I think I need to do and our staff needs to do to evaluate, and Sashi and Paul evaluate our players, that's what we'll do. And I think that's what's important moving forward.
What would be the one thing that maybe has surprised you from going from baseball to football now that you went through the draft and preseason camp and that kind of stuff?
You know, honestly, I think the biggest surprise is just how similar things are. I mean, at the end of the day, obviously the game is very different. There are nuances that need to be addressed, but fundamentally, they're really, really similar. We deal with a lot of the same issues. We're answering the same questions. It's still about people at the end of the day, making hopefully quality decisions consistently about people and trying to build a team and a culture. All that's very, very similar. And I think, you know, I'd focused much more on just the differences of the game, you know, when I was thinking about making the move. But since I've been here, all the rest of that, I think, is, you know, 90% of the equation, and that's been very, very comfortable for me.
Here we saw Robert take, you know, the one reps in the spring. So what specifically have you and Pep been working on with him that you need to see improvement as the intensity increases in camp to make you guys feel comfortable that you can move forward with him as your starter?
Just play the position the way we expect it to be played, you know, and that's at every position. You know, we have an expectation of how that position plays, and I think contrary to what I think some people feel, I think he was getting there and has done a good job. I just think, you know, there's still another step. That was OTAs, you know, like you said, the intensity is going to ramp up a little bit at every position. You know, because I think what's important is we're trying to create a winning football team here, because I truly expect to win, as I said from day one. And so that's what we're going to set out to do at every position.
Sashi, what kind of expectations should the fans have for this year?
They should hold us accountable, just as Hugh said. The expectation here should be winning. Our roster is obviously younger than some of the other teams in our division as we've brought in a lot of young guys. But as we've told them and we will tell them in the team meeting this afternoon, this isn't about taking a year off or looking up in 2 or 3 years. This is about starting with the first rep out here tomorrow, getting better and competing every single snap. And that'll translate into our games in the preseason and certainly the regular season. So when we get to Philadelphia, we're ready to go. But you can't look past the work that it's going to take to get there and to establish the culture that we've started, you know, building some of that foundation in the spring, and we'll continue to build on that here in training camp.
There's so many new players and, you know, almost an outrageous amount of young players in terms of, like, we talked about winning. So how do you manage, I guess, both expectations, and you too, maybe along this thing? You got all these young guys, you know, they got to learn how to play.
We have some older ones too now. And we have some older ones too.
And certainly play your way in this division, which you know very well.
I don't know any other way to do this but to chase winning and to chase perfection, you know, each and every day. And I think as you do that, you never know what you can hit on. This is football, you know. There's no exact science to how this works. I mean, there's no magical way of predicting what the record's going to be. The guys in that locker room are going to determine how good we're going to be by how they work. I don't think it has anything to do with being young, old, in between, any of that. I think it has to do with our process, how we practice, how we go about understanding the opponent, how we go about resting, and all the things that I know that Paul's involved with and Sashi's involved with to get our football team to be the best that we can be. And if we do it better than 31 of the other teams in the National Football League, then we got something special happening. And that's all we're chasing, and that's all we're after. Now, what the record's going to be, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I know this. Well, we're going to win, and we're going to expect to win.
And I in the offseason about changing the expectations and the culture in this building. Where is that process at as you begin a training camp, and what's been the biggest thing you've done to help change that culture?
I think it's on its way. Do I think it's exactly where it needs to be? No, because that's going to really start to change when the W's go in a column. I think what I've done and tried to do along with Sashi and Paul is to really talk to our team about expecting to win. And if you expect to win, that means you're willing to do all the work that it takes to put yourself in position to win. And these men are really responsible for helping me along the process by acquiring good players and putting them on this team. I think obviously the draft was the start of it for us, and I think our offseason program was the other part of it. I think hiring Adam Beard in the weight room was a huge part of it, and I think the rest of our team that surrounds our football team is very important to this process too. So I feel very good about where we're headed, and I think our players understand that when you get out of the car and you walk in this building, it's all about work. It's nothing else. There's no egos. There's none of that. All we try to do is work every day and put our head down and become the best we can be. And then we'll let everything else fall where it's going to fall.
Sasha, do you expect another new suspension for Armonte? And will you keep him despite following the kind of legal resolution yesterday?
I don't know what to expect with Armonte. I think the league's going to review it. I'm not sure of that. But we will be in touch with them when they engage. And I wish I had more for you, Scott. I just don't right now.
Are you planning? I mean, there's no plans to get rid of him.
Not at this point.
The fallout of losing Desmond Bryant, and how well suited are you to move people around? Will you move people around? How can you fix that loss?
Right. We'll do whatever we have to do, you know, to have a good defensive football team. And I think Ray Horton's committed to that, and I know Sasha and Paul are committed to helping us, and Andrew Berry finding other players if need be. But I think we have some guys here on the roster that we're excited to see and see what they can do, you know, for our football team. It's very unfortunate, you know, that happened with Dez, because I think he was on his way to having a great season. He had a great offseason, and obviously that happened away from here, so it's tough. But at the same time, you know, we know injuries are going to happen. It won't be the last injury we have. We'll knock on wood. Hopefully we don't have too many. And one thing I will preach to our football team, it's truly about the next man up. You know, who's ever the next guy that's got to go, he's got to go get it done. And I know that's a kind of cliche term, but I think that's the way you have to approach this. And I think that's the way our football team will.
Is Joe Hayden there?
kind of the finish line in his recovery, and what's your interaction has been like with him as he gets closer?
Outstanding. He's chomping at the bit. We got to kind of put our arms around him and slow him down a little bit because he's ready to get back out there, and he's close, very close. And I'm excited about getting him back out there with a football team and playing. But he's done an outstanding job of getting himself healthy, and I think we got a little ways to go. Yeah, but I think he's close, and I'm excited to watch him once he gets an opportunity to be back on the field.
A little bit unusual for a team to allow, I mean, for the NFL to allow a suspended player to be around you. Was that mandatory for you? Did you feel like he had to be within this support system if you were to take him back?
We didn't control the terms of his reinstatement. That's determined by the NFL. If we could mandate it, you know, we would have had that conversation. We do think it's healthier for Josh to be within a structure, and appreciated that facet of his terms of reinstatement, but we weren't able to dictate that to the league.
Did you request it, though? I mean, did you advocate for that?
We did not. We had some conversations with them, very preliminary, about what might be helpful. We've had these conversations with them about Josh, but generally also about how the program works. I know they solicit information from time to time from teams and try to learn from their experiences, too, and improve upon the program. I think this will be an interesting opportunity for a team to show what a player back and within a structure can do. And we plan to support Josh the best we possibly can during his time.
Why exactly is he suspended for 4 more games?
I don't know that. I would let the league answer that.
You know?
No.
The last time.
About the quarterbacks. When you were with the Bengals, you had Andy Dalton. I assume that he took like 90% of the snaps during training camp, or even more than me. So does this battle, however you want to term it, is that going to slow the development of one of these guys when they're not going to get all the snaps that they would if you knew who the starter was?
Well, I mean, obviously, you wish you just obviously knew, as you're alluding to, so that you can give the guy all the reps that he needs. But I think we're not at that point yet. I think there's still a little time as we go through the start of training camp before that decision has to be made. And again, I don't want to rush into anything until I feel like we're getting close to that point to have to do that. And I don't think we're at that point yet. But at some point in time, as I've said earlier, we'll make that decision and we'll move forward.
Do you start camp feeling good about the numbers you have at all the positions?
I do. I really do. I feel good about the numbers. I feel good about, you know, our players, and I feel good about where we are.
For all you guys, is there a position battle or two that you're looking forward to seeing how it plays out? Maybe you're focused on receivers because you have so many young ones, or outside linebackers. I mean, going into camp, is there a spot or two that you're really focused on?
I'm always eager to see the big guys up front. I think we've got some new faces along the offensive line, including a couple draft picks there. So I'm eager to see what happens there. I know that's going to be a big component of our offense, which is running the ball. So I'll be watching that closely.
Coach, will Ocho Cinco have a role?
Chad Johnson? His name is Chad.
Yeah, but I mean, on Twitter, I know he was making some mention of it. And then also Ernest Biner. First,
Chad is going to assist Al and Bob Saunders. And obviously, you guys know my relationship with Chad. And Chad wants to try his hand at coaching. And what better place to learn from Al Saunders? I mean, he's the best in the business. And so we've afforded him opportunity to be here and see if coaching is for him. And then Ernest was here with us in the spring and did a tremendous job. And so we've invited him back to be here for training camp, and looking forward to working with Ernest. And I'm sure our players are too. So that'll be fun.
From what you learned about Corey Coleman in the spring, how much pressure can you put on him to be the number one receiver if that's what he has to be?
A lot. A lot. And that's why we drafted him. I mean, he's a tremendous football talent, and he's tough, you know, and I think he wants to be good. So, you know, I'm not – you know, they say pressure bust pipes, you know, that's what they say. I think Corey likes that. I think that's kind of the way he's built. You know, he wants to be the best. I mean, the first thing he said to me when I saw him is, "Coach, I want to be the best receiver on this football team." And I truly believe that he's going to work to do that. I think he's in tip-top shape. I think he learned from the spring where he needed to be, and I think he's ready to go.
You mentioned the motivation, hiring Doug Beeler. and that all three of you could weigh in on this. How much do you believe player development has been lacking in this organization kind of coming into this year, and how do you kind of expect to change that?
Well, yeah, I can't comment on what it was like before. Obviously, I wasn't here. I can just tell you from our standpoint, it's going to be really important going forward. You know, and I think we look at it maybe a little differently than other teams have looked at in the past. There are a lot of different elements that go into player development. I think we're going to look to really collaborate on all those different elements just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And I think it's really indicative of the way we work together in general. It's not just player development. It's even the way we approach the draft. You know, everybody from all these different areas sort of weighs in, and different people with different levels of expertise in different areas get a chance to weigh in to try to come up with, you know, the best possible answer in any particular situation. And I think player development is going to be one of those where we really draw upon all these different resources, whether it's Adam or whether it's, you know, the coaches, whether it's, you know, Joe Sheehan or sports psychology. I mean, whatever it might be, I think we're going to be incorporating all those different elements. And it will be an important part of what we do.
This is for all of you. What did the Cavs championship do in terms of showing you what the city can be like if you can be a winner, and what it did in terms of helping to build a championship-style team?
Yeah, I think I've talked about this previously, but when I came here, I came in part because of the fans. I know how great Cleveland fans are. I was really excited for the city, the community, and certainly all the sports fans here that have been through so much, as well documented recently. But it was exciting. It was exciting for us. Our players got into it. We all desperately want to win. You know, I'm not sure it ratchets up any pressure because we put so much pressure and we so desperately want to win on our own. But absolutely, I think the fans should have high expectations for us. Every time we go out, we have those same high expectations, regardless of whether the Cavs or Indians are doing great. And I think Chris and his team are doing an outstanding job as well. So hopefully they win another World Series and put some more pressure on us, if you want to think about it that way.
Did you guys get to the parade?
No, sir.
Did you try?
No. Did not.
Hey, did you notice a change in the mechanics of RG3 and or Cody Kessler? I think they both worked with Tom House. Have you noticed anything different yet, or have you not seen them?
Right, I haven't seen him yet. You know, we'll see him tomorrow out on the field. But I would think those guys are, you know, where they need to be. Obviously, spending time with Tom and Adam is a great bridge for them before we get ready to start training camp.
Just to clarify one thing, in terms of you identifying your starting quarterback, I didn't hear it right. You mentioned like before the games, or would you like it before the
before the first preseason game?
Before that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. No, I will. I have to. You know, that's just the right thing to do.
So that's 2 weeks.
Right. So you guys will be sitting here 2 weeks from now, before then, saying, "Here we go."
This training camp, your first. What's the most important thing that you need to do to kind of be successful for the season?
I think what's most important, one, we need to remain healthy. But I think the biggest thing we need to do is become very efficient at blocking, tackling, and taking the ball away and protecting the ball. I think those four things, if we can accomplish that before we get ready to play Philadelphia, we'll be well on our way to where we need to be. Now, that's a lot of work. I said a lot of things right there. But I think our players are up to the challenge. I know our coaches are. And I think we're looking forward to grind of doing that.
Last time we saw you, you promised it would be a tough camp with a lot of hitting. Have you dialed back on any of that?
That hadn't changed. You know, it'd be fun. But, yeah, it's the only way you get to play football. Huh?
How did your good friends in the sports science department feel about that? Since he's sitting there. You were the one that said that they were kind of like, eh.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was a conversation with them. But I think they get it. I mean, again, we all do this kind of together. And there's no question in my mind that they support exactly my feeling about what it is that we need to do. And obviously they've told me some things that we need to make sure we're mindful of, that I'm mindful of as well, which I totally accept. But at the end of the day, I think we all understand in order for us to become a good football team, that there's certain things that we must do well. And in this league, if you don't block or tackle extremely well, and if you don't affect the quarterback, and if you can't run the ball very well, then there's going to be some issues. So at the end of the day, I think all three of us and the rest of our organization are linked, and I'll keep saying it, to one thing, winning. Whatever we think it takes to win, that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you hit the ground full pads tomorrow?
No, sir, you can't do that. CBA won't let you do that.
Yeah. But as soon as we can.
Absolutely. Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, we will be in pads. I promise you.
Actually, there's a lot of guys on the roster who know Josh a lot better than you guys do, with all due respect. Were any of them involved in the meetings with him?
Not the meetings with him, but we did talk to our players, and one of the things that Hugh Paul and I believe in is making sure that we respect the players and that this is their locker room as well. And so we did take some input from some of the players who had been around when Josh was here. We're not going to go into the details of what those conversations were, but, you know, I can at least say there was support. You know, one thing I would say about Josh, and I'm not trying to defend him, but he is, you know, at his core a good person. He's not, you know, as portrayed, you know, in the media. He's made a lot of bad decisions. He's accountable for that. But I think these guys know him at his core. And if he were different, I don't think they would welcome him back. But there was an openness to it, and he's going to have to prove himself, you know, that he can be relied upon as a teammate. But in earnest, I think these guys know that his spirit at least is in a place where that's a possibility with him.
You good?
Not Crowell.
Last one. Do you have some level of concern that all this stress just created by this whole controversy might affect him? And how do you help him work through that so he can overcome it and have the, you know, the kind of season that you thought he could before this all happened?
Right. There's no question it could. You know, that is a concern. But I think, I mean, I say again, these two gentlemen that I'm with and our organization and his teammates, we all truly believe what kind of man this young guy is, and we're going to help him as much as we can. And I think he understands the situation. I think he knows where he is and what he needs to do. And I think he knows that part of him being better is being around his teammates and being around us. And I think he's looking forward to being with those guys. But I think he's also looking forward to making this right so that he can put this behind him and move forward.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.